Yeah, we've been doing a series on grace, we're going to carry on with that this morning. So we'll look at Hebrews chapter 10. If you've got a notice sheet or you've got your Bible with you, if you just want to turn to that, we're just going to read that passage. He's had enough. He's going out. Don't worry about it. Just leave it. Hebrews chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sacrifices, you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It's written about me in the scroll. I've come to do your will, my God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I've come to do your will." He sets aside the first covenant, that is, to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. Day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. I wonder how many animals were actually sacrificed in that Old Testament period. It must have been millions. Sacrifices all the time for everything and everything. But when this priest, that's Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this, for he says, "This covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." The grace of God to each one of us. Isn't it great? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what it stands for. And you know, I've been out three times in the last week. Last Saturday, we went out for a meal with Chris's dad. 15 of us had a lovely meal at the White Lion in Writington. I know some other people have been there just recently. And we had a lovely meal. And guess what? Chris's dad paid for it, for all of us. Cost a few bob, but he wanted to pay, and that was great. And then on Thursday, we were out on Ambassadors. We met a lady, started chatting to her, and she was on a coach trip from Stoke-on-Trent. And we started chatting with her, asking how she was, etc. And she had anywhere to eat, so we pointed in a few directions of places to eat. Anyway, we carried on with our patrol. We ended up in Hope Street Cafe, which is just by Wetherspoons. If you've never been in Hope Street Cafe, I recommend it. It's great, and they're doing a great work there. So we sat down, and we, four of us there, having a cup of tea and coffee. And we noticed this lady sat in the corner, and we just said, "Oh, hello, nice to see you. Found somewhere to eat." And left it at that. And then, so we just carried on, and the lady was making her way to the door and said, "Oh, cheerio." And then the lady from the cafe came and said, "She's paid for your teas and coffees." Oh, we said, that's lovely. Isn't that really nice? So that was two. And then yesterday we went again to Hope Street. We don't just drink coffee all day, but we went again to Hope Street for another coffee. And there were six of us this time on Ambassadors, and we were sitting down. and having coffee. And I was okay to pay. I'd have been all right to pay. And somebody else offered a £10 note as well. And somebody else had left a purse behind, but don't worry about that. And so we were just sat there. And the next minute, one of the tips said, "Oh, I'll pay." And went off and paid for the coffee. So that was free as well. Isn't it nice when you get something like that and it's done for you? And it's just lovely. And, you know, sometimes that smallest little act of kindness is just great. When we compare those little things to what Jesus has done for us, just pales into insignificance, doesn't it? Hey, but Jesus has paid the price. The price for you and me, forgiveness has been paid once and for all in his sacrifice. We remember on this wonderful Easter Sunday, don't we, that sin and death is defeated forever. And we have hope beyond the grave. We've got hope of everlasting life, and Jesus has done it all for us. No cost, nothing. It's not on HP. There's nothing like that. We don't have to earn it. So many other faiths, in fact, I think all other faiths, are trying to earn their way to whatever they're earning their way to. And you can never, ever earn it. You can never, ever do it. Just say all of a sudden the Christian rules changed and we had to earn our way to heaven. Would be awful, wouldn't it? How on earth would we do it? What would we do? But Jesus said, no, it's done. It's done once and for all. We used to sing an old hymn. It says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints, that's us, to reign. He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. That verse 12 in that passage we read says this: when this priest, that's Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Sitting down is just relaxation. It's done. It's fit. Imagine Jesus going back to heaven and just sitting down and saying, I've done it. It's complete. But not only that, he put his feet up. It says, after that, since then, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. It says he's put all things under his feet. It's just a beautiful picture of Jesus just lying back, feet up. You know, you can't beat it, can you? What a way just to sit in your own living room with your feet up, watching the telly or whatever you're doing, just knowing everything's sorted. And that's where we are. That's who we are. We're complete in Christ Jesus. Jesus reigns. He's seated, enthroned, enemies under his feet, sin is dealt with, the price is paid in full. That song we used to sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Whatever you've got to face tomorrow, because Jesus lives today, you can face it. Because he lives, all fear is gone. If you're in fear of anything, then let it be gone, because Jesus has dealt with it at the cross, and you're carrying something that you don't need to carry, because it's been dealt with, yeah? The enemy wants to rack you with fear, and Jesus said, I've taken that. It doesn't exist anymore, yeah? Don't hang on to it. All fear is gone, because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives, because he lives. An old song said this: he lives, Christ Jesus lives today, he walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He's with us all the time, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. By his spirit he's come to live within us, he dwells with us. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. My hope, my confidence, my assurance, my 100% guarantee. Do you know when you say a guarantee, and this is guaranteed, this thing you're going to buy is guaranteed 100%. This thing is never, ever, I'm not doing an illustration, by the way, I'm just getting me tea. This, in case you thought it was. But this thing is 100% guaranteed. No way. You see it all on the adverts, don't you? Everything works 100%. But you know darn well it doesn't. But our confidence, our hope, is built on nothing less. And what's it built on? Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. If I'm trusting or relying on anything else, or if I'm adding anything else to it, and that's what happens in some circles, they add on something extra to what Jesus has done, and we can't add anything extra onto it. It's been complete in Christ Jesus. I love it when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him. And what did he say when he saw him coming? He could have used loads and loads of different terms, but when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I wonder what the people thought that's a strange, the Lamb of, what's that? Strange illustration. But they would know what he was talking about, the Lamb of God. It meant that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. It's a lovely name to have. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Recognize that. Not all the blood of beasts, this is another song, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty captive peace or take away the stain. But, and it's a big but, Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. Today, through the grace, the free gift of God to us, we are complete in Christ Jesus. We're new creations, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, we stand. It's totally undeserved. It's totally unmerited favour. And God showers me with it, his unmerited favour over me. And we read in that scripture there, that we are holy. Do you feel holy today? When you say holy, who do you think of? You might think of the Archbishop of Canterbury or the Pope or something like that. But you are holy. It's unbelievable, isn't it? You are holy. You are perfect, sinless, forgiven. Doesn't mean you never ever sin again. But when Jesus looks at you, he sees you as sinless, which is absolutely mind-blowing. We're set apart, free from our sin, from our shame, whatever it may be. Maybe something in the past is wrecking you. And you know, if you've lived as long as I have, then you've got a bit of a past. And I can remember some of the stuff I'm not comfortable about. And guess what? The enemy just, hey, what about that? Remember that? Remember that? You said that. You did that. And he's a shocker. He brings the memories back. And it's really hard to deal with those things. But I just want to tell you today that those memories are dealt with. Jesus says, your sins I will remember no more. So if you've got memories that keep haunting you, or things that come back, and you think, I should have done better, I should have done this, I should have done that, and you're trying to go back and do those things again, or try and put those things right, and you can't, don't let that happen to you. Just bury it, because that's what Jesus has done. It died with him at Calvary. Those memories have gone. Those accusations have gone. Remember those accusations that you get? Those accusations that keep coming into your mind? You're supposed to be a leader in the church. Hey? You're supposed to be an example to others. You're supposed to be a Christian. And it just comes, doesn't it? All the time. But it's been dealt with at the cross. Today we stand upon the truth of God's word. We don't stand upon our thoughts. We don't stand upon the thoughts of others. We don't stand upon the words of others. We stand upon the word of God. And God's word says that we are pure, we are holy, we're forgiven through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all been done by the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We should be dancing on the ceiling. There's no doubt about it. We should be dancing on the ceiling. I know Mike talked the other week about let's have a bit of a dance. We used to dance, didn't we? I'd probably be struggling a bit now, but I'd love to be able to. When I get to glory, it'll just be unbelievable. People will be cartwheeling and everything. If you could do it, it'd be great. But we should be, because we should have joy. Joy to the full. So if you haven't got joy today, then just receive what God wants to impart into your life. Receive the grace of God. Receive again the total forgiveness of God. Receive the total joy of God. Receive the peace of God into your life. And it makes you live in a different way. It makes you live with a different aspect. There's no need to keep looking back. Look ahead, because God's in control. He's got everything in the palm of his hands, you included. Let's just pray for a minute. Lord, I just thank you that we are in you, complete. We are complete in Christ Jesus, Lord. We are complete in you today. No matter what we feel, no matter what the enemy says to us, we are totally 100% complete in you, and we can live our lives to the full. Yes, Lord, we've got some issues that are ahead of us. We've got some issues that we're dealing with. But Lord, we place those things in your hand. We give those things to you to say, Lord, you are in control. You have the best for us. You want the best for us. And Lord, you will bring all things together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we trust in you. We stand upon your word. We don't stand upon our fears, upon our doubts, upon our ifs, buts and maybes. We stand upon the solid ground of what you've achieved at Calvary. And today, Lord, we celebrate the victory that you've come out of the grave. You're risen, you're ascended, you're seated in heavenly places. And we sit there too with you, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.